Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. That would make sense. Carlos Ortiz alongside here tonight. We've got Marco Belletti and Justin Rock doing your updates. Hear from Justin this hour. And of course, we'll hear from you. It's been a vital part of the program. It's been a vital part of talk radio since talk radio has debuted. We could get back to, we could go different format. I don't think you have as much, like, what radio used to be was like theater. You didn't have really TV shows, so you would listen to the radio and listen to stories. Do you want to start, like, reading stories and doing voices and acting out plays at night, perhaps? Would that be fun? I might get down with it. Maybe a night, All-Star Week. Maybe we could try that. The phone number to reach us, 888-710-4ISN. It's a brand new number. I trust that you are capable of writing it down or putting it in your phone. 888-710-4476. Again, 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Talking about a couple of the different quarterback stories as they continue to linger. Russell Wilson and these other teams seem to be waiting to see what happens. They're probably going to the dance together. Like, Russell Wilson and the Giants are probably going to the dance together. They're just waiting to see what happens to the more popular girl, because the Giants might want to date Rodgers instead, but they're perfectly fine with Russell Wilson. They've been friends, and, you know, going to a dance might be weird, but, you know, the moment might strike. But it seems like they're kind of inevitable. Aaron Rodgers will not be a Viking. At least that's the reporting of today. I'm having a hard time following this reporting. I'm following it in terms of comprehending it. I'm having a hard time understanding where any of it is coming from. There seem to be a lot of people who are in the ear of Kevin O'Connell. Maybe he wants these things reported out there. Maybe he's gauging interest from the fan base. I don't know. But we're getting a lot about what the Vikings want and less about what Rodgers wants. The Vikings today, the report was they are fully committed to J.J. McCarthy and thus essentially out of the Rodgers sweepstakes. Kirk Cousins could still be an option for somebody, although Atlanta seems to be content paying him tens of million dollars to be the backup. And then you've got the draft, and that's another point with Aaron Rodgers, certainly, because I think he's going to take his time regardless. And I mean take his time into the summer, take his time. But if I'm Russell Wilson right now, and I've got the Titans and Browns and Giants, and my options may be the Browns and the Giants, I don't know that I want to sign there before I see what they do in the draft. Because I may be signing in or signing on board with the team and thinking I'm the starter, and then they do exactly what they did to Kirk Cousins a year ago, and they draft somebody else. And then I'm kind of left standing. So we'll see how these are going to play out. On that topic, Rob is in Connecticut, 888-710-4ISN. Rob, I'm glad we got the new number to you. How are you?
Bart. Oh, Captain, my Captain, I'm doing very well. I actually got it the very first night. I called up Carlos. I thought it was April 1st. I thought it was a joke. I said, are you guys really changing the number? So I had to call it just to make sure. I didn't have to write it down. It's all by memory. So I'm like a Rain Man with numbers. So it stopped.
When I did the jingles, was that helping the other night?
Oh, my gosh. That was amazing. And I couldn't get it out of my head. I was even dreaming about it.
888-710-4ISN.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, oh, my gosh. That was beautiful.
Good.
Also, I want to give you full credit for the Aaron Rodgers stories. I give you full credit. So I am vouching for you. So there's
Thank
no
you.
Reason to
that
get
does
excited.
Mean that does mean I don't know about a lot, but it means something.
I want it to mean something. But
it does mean something.
Yes, I think Aaron Rodgers is just an utter space cadet that belongs on Mars playing catch with Marvin the Martian. I don't let him rent space in my head. Wherever he chooses to go, he chooses to go, you know? I'm just glad that March Madness is here. It'll kind of take away a little bit. We'll be more focused on the basketball, and we won't worry about what Aaron is doing. It's his decision. You know he's dragging it out. We know what he's like, and he's just going to drag this out till the end. And then what's going to happen is he's going to get to the team, and then we're all going to be talking about, oh, well, what is he going to do for this team, and how is he going to perform? And then the season's going to get here, and then, oh, he's not looking like Aaron Rodgers. And it's just going to go on and on and on. So it's like, whatever. You know, just, I don't know. That's for me. You know, so I try not to really rent space in my head. I know you have a job to do to talk about it, and yeah. I know it must be frustrating, and that's why you seek counseling, and that's not a bad thing because I have a therapist of my own.
Well, the sports radio transgressions are surprisingly lower on the list, but it right. does come and, up from hey, time listen, to time.
Listen, there's one other thing. There's a caller that's been on my mind. And I hope he's listening. I know he went through a rough patch losing his wife. I believe he's from New Mexico or Arizona. He refers to himself as the Warrior, and I believe he was driving up to Alberta, Canada. I hope he made it up there safe. I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he gets past what he's going through. It's not easy losing a loved one. So if you're out there, Warrior, and listening, my thoughts and prayers were with you while you were traveling to Alberta, Canada.
Rob, those are kind words. If he's not here listening, and thanks for the call, I will be sure to pass them along next time we hear from Warrior. We have the Warrior, Mr. Positive, and we have Warrior. And I think that that's fine. I think they're on separate paths of life. We can figure that out. We are of that level of comprehension, I think. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. 888-710-4476. Doug is in San Diego. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Bart. You guys are making it tough for me to get with you, man. He's changing everything from CBS to...
Yeah, and guess what? This number is only good for a week. Next week, we're going to have a new one.
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you.
Oh, that's funny. You know what? Since we're talking about that, you know what you guys need to do is change the jingle, because every time you come on, all I think is CBS Sports Radio.
Well, jingles cost like $7 billion, the jingle industry
now.
It's very supply and demand. So I've been trying to tinker around on my keyboard in my basement, and I'll get working a little harder on that.
Come on, man. Maybe you can put that in your Bartometer and let it go to work and figure out how to change that.
Bartometer's not touching anything regarding any of that. I'll just tell you that right now.
Okay. All right. Hey, real quick, man. I totally agree with Aaron Rodgers and everything you're saying, man. What I think is Aaron Rodgers should open up a... What is it? Iowa whatever retreat?
Oh, yeah, ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca retreat in a cave in California and draw all these idiots that live here into that cave and get them away from me. That's what I think.
And I think if he did do that, I think I would have to go, right? I would have to... For all that I've talked about him over the years, I think I would have to pay and be a part of that camp or whatever it is, at least for the stories. I wonder if he'd credential. I don't know if he'd credential, but I think I'd have to try that out for research purposes, of course.
Oh, you're too funny, man. I love your show, brother, and thanks for taking my call.
Doug, good to talk to you in San Diego. Another NFL note. This is the first time I think that we're hearing Stephon Diggs' name come up regarding the free agent period. Again, he was with the Houston Texans. Maybe he can go back there at some point, but right now he is visiting with the Patriots. So Stephon Diggs visiting with the Patriots, according to Chad Graff of The Athletic. The Patriots badly need wide receiver help. Diggs could provide that, even if he may not be ready week one as he recovers from an ACL tear. You'd have to wonder what kind of deal they would give him coming off of an injury, but you know, maybe wanting more than 1 year. The Patriots have really tried to get receivers to New England, and it's just not working. They tried Brandon Ayuk, could not get him to come. They offered Chris Godwin a lot of money, could not get him to come. I have to assume they've been in on pretty much everybody else. Right now you're looking at Kendrick Bourne, Kayshon Boutte, Demario Douglas, Jalen Polk. A lot of these guys that when they're on the field, you're like, is that Bourne? Is that Douglas? Is that, they're smaller guys, maybe slot guys, but they have to play all the positions. They did sign Mac Hollins over from Buffalo, so that was a signing that they made. They do have the number four pick. They could be looking at Travis Hunter there. He would give them the two-way stuff, and they've already improved their defense. And they would be, I don't want to say desperate enough. I just, there's going to be a lot of talk wherever Travis Hunter goes out of Colorado. How much are you going to play him at cornerback? How much are you going to play him at wide receiver? Should we limit the wide receiver stuff so we can get the most out of him at cornerback, if that's why you draft him? But New England's going to be like, no, dude, if you can play 100 snaps a game, we need a wide receiver. We will take it. McMillan had been mocked to them a while back out of Arizona. They're four, though, so that might be a little high to take him. Maybe there's some sort of trade that they do and try to pick up more pieces along the way in this draft. We will see. Should be interesting. But right now, Stephon Diggs is there. I think that's relatively low risk enough. There's been some, I think, we'll just use the word culture issues with him, or at least concern. I think if you're a fan, there's some concern about how you saw it end in Buffalo and really Minnesota. And not so much Houston with the injury, but Stephon Diggs visiting with the Patriots today. Greg is in Michigan. Hello, Greg.
Alberto, it's the Warrior, Mr. Positive. Hey.
What's up, buddy?
Not much. Hey, don't tell anybody. I was going to go naked on the Ambassador Bridge with my buddy in his podcast. I didn't do it. Right. Oh, God, that would have been a sight. Oh, God.
I don't know what that's in reference to or why you would be naked, but yeah. Good luck.
Thank you. It would be quite a sight there, big fella. You country western superstar. Hey, I got to tell you, I love the Lakers the way they're playing, but what do you think about those Detroit Pistons? Cade Cunningham, Duren. I mean, I think we can go far. Screw the Lions. Screw the Red Wings. The Tigers are going to be mediocre. But these Pistons, what, they had the worst record in the NBA history or what have you last year? And then all of a sudden, look what they're doing? What do you attribute it to, El Bardo?
Well, stay there because tonight the Pistons were taking on the Heat in Miami and Cade Cunningham had a shot at the buzzer.
Boy, switch. Bam fights through the screen. Cunningham gets the ball against Bam. Pulls up for the win. Got it! Detroit basketball with the lead with 0.6 to go. And they storm into Dade County and get the buzzer-beating win.
Mark Jones, ESPN, on the call. Big win there, Greg, tonight. And the Pistons currently sit at 39-31. Now, earlier today, I was griping not enough people give me credit for my Rodgers takes. I did last year say the Pistons are going to make the playoffs, but I only said it like once or twice. I didn't advertise it well enough. That's my error. But I like the way they're playing, and I think you have to at this point, 39-31.
Oh, my God, Alberto. I love your support. And all my Warriors in Michigan are happy. They believe in the positivity of Mr. Positive.
We're not Detroit!
Oh, I love that. And, hey, Alberto, Carlos with a K, thanks for taking my call. And as usual, everybody.
Oh, I will. I'm going to use you to tease. I was going to get to it this hour. I'm going to get to it next hour.
Thank you.
Detroit and these rule changes. I don't like what your Lions are up to, if they're even really your Lions. So I'll get into that in a little bit.
I appreciate that. Go for it, Alberto. Everybody, go for your dreams. Peace out.
That is Greg in Michigan. And before the break, let's get racing in Oregon. What's up?
Hey, Bart.
How you been?
Good.
What's up?
So I'm a Ducks. I'm a big Oregon Ducks fan. And while I saw the Oregon Ducks are in March Madness, I was wanting to reach out to you to see how far you think the Ducks can go.
Who's their first game again?
Liberty.
And if they win, could they play Arizona?
Yeah.
Is that the matchup there? So, just based on the infinite knowledge of college basketball wisdom that I have, I think beating Liberty should be something they're able to do. The Arizona game gives me more pause. Arizona is one of these teams that could be predicted to go far. If they win, what do they face? Duke?
Yeah.
Most likely that could be tough. I think you might be in for a Sweet 16 run, but I don't know. I think I've been putting Arizona over Oregon. But again, I'm pretty bad at brackets, so take that for what it's worth.
Well, thanks for that.
How far do you fill out a bracket?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Ow. Well, don't. Well, how far are you going to put them?
Sweet 16.
Okay, and then lose the Duke?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thanks.
Okay, I would fill out two brackets at least. I'd fill out one normal, and then I would fill out another one where Oregon wins it all. Just so if they have that ride, you can feel like, or you could you can make money, or you're wasting $10 or however much it is. I had a guy offer me to be in a pool for $5. And I feel like the minimum's got to be 10. And I feel like the max is 20. But I did it. But then with $5, because like $5 is not $10. So $5. I took an insane Final Four. I think I took Houston, Wisconsin, Maryland, and North Carolina. I did ride to the Final Four in that one. That'll probably be the one I do the best in. Yeah, mix it up a little bit. You got to diversify. That is these. I look at my brackets as not predictions, but investments. That's what I look at them as. My ROI is usually negative. I lose money, but the night before the tournament, before all the games start, then the round of 64, that's like the feeling of when you buy a Powerball. You start to think, well, what am I going to do if I win this money? And then you check later that night, you got zero numbers across five tickets. Again, the phone number 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will return. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I'm Bart Winkler alongside Carlos Ortiz. Carlos's Cubs are now a full one game back in the NL Central. Imagine going to Japan and then coming home 0-2 on the season. They lost to the Dodgers 4-1 in the first game, the season opener for the MLB. And then they lost, I guess, this morning or whenever we're going to say to make it make the most sense, 6-3 in game two of the series. Now, in game one, Carlos, you went to bed and then we talked about this yesterday. You woke up, you had it on DVR, you started to watch the game. And then when they took out Imanaga, you figured they were going to lose. And so you fast forward it. Was that the accurate description?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so did you change your strategy for this game. They lost game 2-6-3. It was the debut of Roki Sasaki. He went three innings, did give up a run, struck out three. We also got to see what Japan paid big money to see, and that was a Shohei Ohtani homer. A little confusion at first, but it was a homer. And then, did I hear this right, that was it Max Muncy that got a foul ball taken away from him from former NFL quarterback Rodney Peete, who was there in the stands? Just a very interesting mixture of people in a different location. Bill Murray was there, I know, for at least the first game. So how did you watch this second game? Was it the same? What was the experience?
So because I was so demoralized yesterday and I came on here and I said 162-0 is in play. Well, 162-0 is still in play. I went into this game with zero expectations. In fact, I didn't watch it until the afternoon. I went to wake up. I did a load of laundry. It was still on DVR. Didn't check my phone, so the strategy was the same. But I knew in my heart of hearts they were going to lose this game. So
you didn't check anything? You just went along with your day like it was an afternoon game?
I went along with my day. I did not watch this game until 5 in the afternoon. So it's amazing that I can actually put the phone down. But like, I completely went out. I did laundry, went to the supermarket, you know, cooked dinner, all that stuff. You know, I did things today. Played a little video game action. Then I'm like, you know what? I got the Cubs. Let's finally get this over with because I already know that they lost. Not seeing anything. Just my gut feeling. I'm like, Roki Sasaki's on the mound. You know, everybody wanted him. Of course, he went to the Dodgers. I bet this guy's going to be electric. And right out the gate, he throws 101 miles an hour. And I'm like, I started fast-forwarding after the fourth inning when Imanaga got yanked. This one I knew I could start fast-forwarding in the second inning.
Wow.
And that's when the Dodgers got three runs right off of rip. And I'm like, this season is over. I reiterate everything that I said yesterday. The Dodgers are going to win 162 games. Let's just cancel the season and go on about the day. Now, the only thing that was a silver lining for me is yesterday I complained about the Cubs' offense. They scored today. Albeit, Kyle Tucker got his RBI because Sasaki walked him. Now, that's one thing. Maybe you don't have to swing
the bat
against them.
They scored three times as many runs as they did in game one.
Exactly. The offense opened up.
Three.
Unfortunately, Justin Steele gave up five by himself. So I wasn't complaining about the offense today. I was complaining about the pitching. If it's not Ben Brown, it's Justin Steele. Someone's going to have to throw strikes. Someone has going to have to keep the ball in play and get batters out. Cubs are not capable of doing that right now. I know it's only 0-2, and for Dodgers it's 2-0. But I am on full-blown panic mode on both sides. The Dodgers will never lose a game unless they don't want to win for some reason. They're all tired. They all need a night off or something. Or Mr. Burns' softball team. 7-9 starters just get wiped off the face of the earth following Ozzie Smith. And the Cubs may go 0-162. They may be the worst team in the majors.
Well, regarding the Dodgers, yeah, those are great takeaways. And the Dodgers thing is interesting. Give me 20 seconds. Just want to update you on the NCAA tournament. Again, the first game tonight. Mount St. Mary's, 83. American, 72. So Mount St. Mary's is going to take on Duke. And then Xavier has beaten Texas. So they were down for most of the first half. They scored 47 in the second half to come on back. Xavier is advancing against Texas, and they will take on Illinois Friday around this time. The game should be wrapping up. So that game in Milwaukee, I should go to it. But tickets are way more expensive than they need to be, so I will not. But either way.
I'm sure you can finagle your way there. I mean, just on Texas, does Ronnie Terry get fired at this point? Like, I feel like he's kind of overstayed his welcome in Texas already.
You're asking me a college basketball question?
Well, no. I retract that question. That was more of a statement. That was not a question.
Oh, okay. I don't know the answer to that. You want me to go to AI?
You know what? Ask Al.
Yeah, I'll ask Al later. The Dodgers, though, you keep saying 162-0, and it's fun, but right now it is still in play. But their over-under win total at various sports books, I see as low as 103.5 wins. I see as high as 105.5 wins. I feel like that's low. Now, the most wins in a season ever, two teams, the 1906 Chicago Cubs, were 116-36-3. So there were less games. I don't know that that winning percentage ever gets touched at 763. The Mariners in 2001, they went 116-46. Ultimately, they lost to the Yankees in the ALCS in 5. The 98 Yankees ripped off 114 wins. The then Indians in 1954 won 111, as did the 2022 Dodgers. So if a recent Dodgers team has ripped off 111, I got to think, like, realistically, yeah, the over-under is fine at 103, 105, because it's hard for your brain to say they're going to win more than that. But I do think, realistically, the Dodgers should be winning about 110 games. The Dodgers should be in that territory. And I certainly think that the 116-win record the two teams share is in play. Again, that winning percentage was about 713 if you play a 162-game schedule. The 1906 Cubs had a winning percentage around 745, but the 116 moniker on its own, I think, is very gettable for this Dodgers team. Again, they won these games with no Mookie Betts and no Freddie Freeman. The starters right now are not going that long because it's the beginning of the season. But then it does highlight what is, I mean, I was going to say one of their strengths, but where is the weakness? Is it defense? Is it manager? Is it offense? Is it starting pitching? Is it bullpen? No, they're all incredible strengths. So I do think, like, one of the interesting stories will be watching how many wins the Dodgers get. I can't envision them getting less than 100, which is bonkers to say on its own right. But I do think that that is what they are in line for, at least. And then it's just a matter of what kind of record will they attain. Really, the only thing that could trip them up for me is the randomness of the postseason. A couple of years ago, with a very good team, they lost to Arizona, who came in, I believe, swept them. They lost to that Arizona team, and they had the week off, and I've griped about that quite a bit. But without the wacky format of the baseball playoffs and the unpredictability of baseball, the things that are going to get the Dodgers are out of their control. If you just play a seven-game series against any team, the Dodgers are going to win most of those series probably in five. And they're going to sweep a lot of them, too. And they're halfway there against the Cubs. So baseball, these were the two games to start the season. Any other baseball score you see from now until Tuesday the 25th is spring training. Nothing next Wednesday. But then the season starts for pretty much everybody else. And the Cubs and Dodgers will both be playing that day as well. It starts next Thursday. First game of the day, Milwaukee goes to New York. Again, there's not another thing I should do. I should get out to Yankee Stadium, watch my Brew Crew get pounded by the Yankees. But Joe Buck is back on a baseball call on that game, so I am kind of interested to watch on ESPN. All right, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We have our worst in five power rankings coming up, where I take a look at the NBA and Carlos, the NHL. That will be straight ahead. And then after that, I do want to look at the rule proposals that many teams have proposed. The Lions threw out a couple that I don't like.
Oh, my God.
Everybody's picking on the Packers for officially saying, let's get rid of the tush push. But I think the Lions rule that they proposed, one of them at least, is actually dumber. And we'll bring that up here in a little bit. Again, 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. This is Justin Rock.
I've got the power! It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what?
You just made the list.
It's Worst in Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It is time for our Power Rankings Worst in Five. We give you the worst team in the league, and then also the five best teams in the league. Well, which league? I'm going to do NBA. Carlos will do NHL. We will probably ride this until the playoffs, yes, of their respective sports, and then we will transition into Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it'll be easy for us because the playoffs in both leagues are right around the corner.
Yeah, and then we can bore you with the baseball power rankings.
Spoiler alert, Dodgers all season.
Oh, yeah. That sucks.
We should just do 2-5.
Yeah, or 2-6. We can do 2-6.
2-6, you know what? I'm fine with that because it's going to be the Dodgers every single time.
Right now, technically, the Cubs would be the lowest on my power rankings. They have a worst record in the league.
You suck! I agree. They are the worst. So we got a preview of for MLB right there.
All right, so in trying to figure out who the worst team in the NBA is, there's a pretty good indicator of how to do that. The Washington Wizards had 15 wins coming into tonight. The Utah Jazz had 15 wins coming into tonight. They played each other. So you would think whoever lost is the worst team in the league, right? The Jazz won this game 128-112. But as we talked about last night, both of these teams probably wanted to lose. I mean, the Jazz sat a few guys, including Lauri Markkanen. So because the Jazz couldn't lose a game that they wanted to lose, it's not the Wizards. It's the Utah Jazz that are the worst team in the NBA.
You suck! Well, for me in the NHL, the answer hasn't changed for the last couple of weeks, and it won't change because why on earth would they possibly win at this point? They could just get the number one pick in the NHL draft and call it a day, and I'll hopefully get somebody to pair with Macklin Celebrini. But it'll be the San Jose Sharks. Worst goal differential at the league, minus 77. Ugh. Third worst offense in the league. They give up the most goals than anybody else in hockey. All they can do is sell hope for the future. So once again, the San Jose Sharks are my worst team.
You suck!
All right, for the best teams in the league, I'll start at number one.
Number one.
There hasn't been a lot of suspense here all season for me since we've been doing this. It's been either the Cavs or the Thunder. The Cavs have a really good argument to once again beat number one. They are outscoring their opponents by about 11 points per game. Only six teams in NBA history have done that. Five of those six won the championship. The only exception was the 72 Bucks, who lost to the 72 Lakers, who were also one of those teams. In fact, the team with the best point differential in league history. The Cavs have been number one for the last 3 weeks. They have just lost two in a row. They lost to the Magic. They lost to the Clippers. The Thunder are winning games consecutively. I think they are up to four. And I just saw them with my own eyes, and they were so good. And I'm going to put the Thunder at number one. At number two, that will be the Cleveland Cavaliers. And then the pecking order in the NBA is really what it has been for the last couple of months. There's the Cavs and the Thunder, and it's one of those teams. And then at number three, it's the Boston Celtics. They have 50 wins on the season. Thunder at 57, Cavs at 56, Boston has 50. The next highest team is 45, and then there's a bunch of teams in the low 40s, upper 30s. So we're going Thunder, Cavs, Rockets. Oops, Celtics. Number four?
Number four.
Rockets. The Rockets are number four, and they have won eight straight games. They are 45-25 on the season. So number five.
Number five.
Here are the contenders. In the East, the 43-win Knicks. You're still not beating good teams. You're out. The Nuggets at 44 wins. The Lakers at 42 wins. The Grizzlies at 43 wins. The Golden State Warriors at 40 wins. It probably should be the Lakers or the Nuggets. But I am going to put the Golden State Warriors in there. As if you look at their overall record, that's fine. If you look at the last 17 games, i.e. since they've gotten Jimmy Butler, the Warriors are 15-2. In that time, by the way, without Jimmy Butler, the Heat are 4-16 and nosediving in the East. So the top five for me, it is the Thunder, Cavs, Celtics, Rockets, Warriors in the NBA.
All righty, let's do that hockey. I've been waffling back and forth, like you, with the Cavs and the Thunder. They've been like 1A, 1B. Same thing in the hockey world. It's 1A, 1B. They're only separated by two wins because they have a virtual lock in points. But my number one team...
Number one.
...is going to be the Washington Capitals at 98 points. Last week I had them at number two. And again, I've been waffling back and forth. The tiebreaker for me is the fact that they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And even though they have the easiest remaining schedule, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and that's win games. Now, if anybody's on Alex Ovechkin watch, he needs 8 goals in the final 15 games to break Wayne Gretzky's record. He's not the only one scoring. Tom Wilson got to 30. Alexei Protas is right there at 29, so the Caps will probably be the first team with 3 guys have scored 30 goals. My next team.
Number 2.
And if you were paying attention the last couple of weeks, again, you have to waffle, which means there is a second dance partner, and that's the Winnipeg Jets. They also have 98 points, as I mentioned, but a loss to the Canucks and a Caps win drops them, the Jets down to second in the standings based on points percentage, even though they have those 2 more wins in Washington. Winnipeg continues to lead the league in wins, like I said. They have the best goal differential at plus 77, and the Jets can soon lock up the division and conference titles, and both would be a first for the franchise, so they're on a hell of a run. My third team.
Number 3.
I continue to beat the drum that they are the most balanced team in hockey, and that's the Dallas Stars with 89 points. They're not going to catch Winnipeg, though, so that's probably the issue for them. They'll most likely face Colorado in the playoffs, and that's going to be a hell of a series, Bart, you know, because both teams are really clicking. They need to...
I can't wait.
You're not going to watch. I am. I am not familiar with every single person on that roster, but they are good teams. However, neither of them are really great on the road. So Dallas needs to stay ahead of Colorado in the standings in order to kind of secure a next round advancement for them. At number 4.
Number 4.
That'll be the Carolina Hurricanes. I had them at number 4 last week. Nothing changes with 86 points. They've won 7 straight wins. 4 of those wins have come after the trade deadline since they moved on from Mikko Rantanen, which really did not work out for them. And like, you know, you rare to see the double flip where they acquire and then get rid of the player. They just couldn't make it work. So shout out to Colorado in order to get that in their favor. But the Hurricanes have allowed just 1 goal per game. The exact percentage is 1.29. They've beaten the Jets and the Lightning, both teams that will be in the playoffs. So the Hurricanes will be a very dangerous team to face in the postseason. And finally, at number 5.
Number 5.
The Colorado Avalanche. I have not had them ranked before. They're 85 points. They are 3rd in the division. Again, they're not going to catch Winnipeg just like Dallas. So they're probably going to face Dallas in the postseason. And we had a little bit of preview of that series earlier this last week when Dallas and Colorado face each other. But Colorado has won 8 of their last 10 games. They've earned a point in at least 9 of them. Nathan MacKinnon continues to lead the league in scoring, and Cale Makar leads all defensemen in scoring. Everything's coming up Colorado for them right now, clicking, and perhaps most importantly, they're finally picking up their goaltending, which has been an issue for them all season. So once again, at number 1, I have the Capitals. The 2, I have the Winnipeg Jets. 3, Dallas Stars. 4, the Carolina Hurricanes. And 5, the Colorado Avalanche.
Those are the power rankings. Well done. As always, some of these games, or teams, I should say, that we've been talking about in action right now in the NBA, the Cavs, and this is weird to say, but they're looking to avoid their 3rd straight loss. Currently, it is 99-98. They are up a point against the Sacramento Kings. They did lose 3 in a row earlier this season, 1 time. They've lost 2 in a row. Well, no, that's it. Their losing streaks are 1-2-1-1-1-3-1. And this could be another 3 if they don't win tonight. That was to Houston. So Houston, the Sixers. I remember that one. The Sixers got them. And then Houston again. So twice in 1 week they played Houston. So the Cavaliers currently in a dogfight with the Kings. And then if I was going to look for a tiebreaker between the Lakers and the Nuggets, I suppose I could have looked at the game tonight. But no Nikola Jokic and no Jamal Murray. The Lakers currently have a 100-77 lead over Denver. So that probably wouldn't have done too much, but we slipped the Warriors in there at five. Anyway, the Detroit Lions proposing some rule changes in the NFL. Lay off the Packers. They're right in what they're doing. It's the Lions that are being stupid. And we'll get into that. And we'll do that next on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.